I'm at Three Springs out. I'm sitting in, I'm watching the boss fill up his boom spray while I sit in the ute taking radio interviews. So
life's changed a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, they're good people. They're very understanding. So he's like, I'll show you how to use this theater. I said, give us half an hour. I've got radio interviews. So anyway.
This is your third book overall and your second in a very short space of time. For me, the reader, you signed a two-book deal with Wild Dogs and No Trace. Do you feel like a fully fleshed-out, serious author now?
Yeah, actually I do, because, now I think with No Trace, that was the first time I had a deadline with expectations. Like Ridgeview, when it went well, but it was a fairly quiet release and it was only one book deal.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Wild Dogs, I wrote Wild Dogs over a few years and sort of finally managed to get it picked up, and then that came out pretty quick. But then when I sat down to do No Trace, I started writing that in about January of last year. We launched Wild Dogs in February, and we'd set ourselves a June deadline to deliver the finished manuscript to the publisher. So, yeah, and I got it to my agent in April, and she read it. We made a few adjustments and then submitted it, and Bev, my publisher, was happy with it. So, yeah, it's the first real sort of job as a writer, and then, yeah, it's gone rather well. So now I'm back to square one again, sort of out of contract, trying to do a manuscript, but I haven't got a deadline, so I'm sort of dawdling. So, I definitely work better with deadlines.
Well, you've got a different sort of deadline looming now. You are on the shortlist for a WA writing fellowship, aren't you?
Yeah, that got announced on Monday, much to my surprise. You always apply for these things, but there's plenty of other better writers and whatever else out there. But a couple of people suggested I go for it, and we put the application in and had some lovely letters of recommendation, and yeah, made the shortlist, and sort of, which is very, very, very humbling. It's very rewarding and a bit of vindication for all. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of work goes behind. Like, yeah, these two books have come out in a hell of a hurry, but it was 5 years of a lot of work trying to get them there. So, yeah, it's good.
Do you call yourself a writer now, Michael?
Yeah, I do. I actually filled out some tax form a little while back, and I wrote down author and had a little giggle. And I mean, most of my income still comes from working on farms, but, the goal is to eventually do this full-time and just basically drive tractors and headers for fun.
Well, all the best for the West Australian Writers Fellowship, because that's a cash money prize. So it would actually enable you to do some of those things that you love to do.
Yeah, that's the plan. We sort of budgeted out how I'd use that money, and it allowed me to take a bit of time off work to sort of focus more heavily on writing and sort of get a bit more of a plan, because up until now I've sort of been winging it, just feel like writing a story. So you write one and let's try something like this. But now with these two novels with Penguin for the same main character, sort of start thinking what we're going to do from here, and I'll be able to sort of pursue it a bit more.
It's not essential to have read Wild Dogs to enjoy No Trace, but it feels like a sweet deal for those who have. Gabe the dog trapper has a lot going on, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's a complicated. Well, he's both. He's a very simple man, but he's a bit more complicated than he might first seem. So yeah, we try and write them so that, for people who haven't read Wild Dogs, No Trace will still make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a few callbacks to Wild Dogs that people who have read that will go, I remember that fella, or that's what happened to him, and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's just the way it is now. Like, if you've got a book where you had to read book one, it's probably going to put buyers off from buying book two. I'm going to buy two or three books before this one makes sense. So, yeah, I think we've managed to do that rather well. So, yeah, he's finding himself in a bit of strife again, as Gabe.
That's putting it mildly. I remember talking to you last year about how you take the reader to parts of WA that the tourist buses don't reach. But this time you've included a couple of tourists. Tell us about Frank and Irene.
Oh, Frank and Irene, yeah, no, they were interesting characters. They're just a couple of grey nomads who've pulled up to, mingle with the station folk and find themselves in all sorts of trouble as well. Frank's sort of half based off my neighbour, and, the fella who's done it all and knows everything, and I might have a chat with old Frank, but yeah, it was just, I just thought I was through him in there. I didn't actually plan for him to play the role that he played, but it just bloody Frank just turned out to, that's just how he ended up. So, yeah, he's a good character.
Yeah, he's a great character. by the by, the book got released on Thursday and I finished listening to it on Friday.
Oh, you listened to it? Yeah, no, Rick's done an amazing job again. We had a podcast with him on the Facebook page, on Words and Nerds Facebook page, talking to him and another author, Ben Hobson, who had also narrated his book. So I was actually more interested in how Rick goes about it rather than actually launching my book. I find the whole process fascinating.
Well, like me, you're a big audiobook fan, aren't you?
Yeah. No, see, I spend so long in machines these days, you know, harvesting and seeding and spraying, whatever. It's just a perfect pastime. And it's a good way to, because as a creator, you do have to take in other creators' work to, you know, get inspiration and thieve a few ideas here and there. And yeah, you know, it's a lot easier to listen when you're driving than it is to read. So, it just works out really well.
It's a bit safer too. Can't write notes down while you're busy. How do you record those little sparks, those little ideas you are going to develop?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I do have a notebook in the machine most times. It's all auto-steer these days, and so long as I'm not trying to spray around some power lines or something, it's usually pretty easy just to quickly jot down a sentence or whatever. And, other jobs are pretty slow and boring. Like seeding at the moment, you're doing about 8 kilometres an hour, so it's not too hard to be sort of jotting down a few things in the tractor and just keep an eye out for rock piles and, like I said, trees and power lines. So far, it's been all right.
There is nothing slow and boring about No Trace or Wild Dogs, for that matter. Are you going to keep mining that vein in your next book?
Yeah, so I've started another manuscript. I've decided to throw Gabe in a mine camp, this time as a wildlife protection officer, which I think will be a lovely reversal of roles and fish out of water setup. So, yeah, just trying to get that together at the moment. Hopefully have something to present to the agent and publisher shortly. And with any luck, I'll go, yep, it's good, let's have two of them. That's the plan anyway, so that'll be great.
Well, the many lives you've lived, Michael Trant, mean that you've got many stories to tell. Let's hope they pay off. It's another page turner, and I really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for chatting with us.
No worries. Thanks very much for having us, Dana.